Ladies and gentlemen, what is up? I hope everyone had a happy 4th of July that actually celebrates it. God, stop being in control. I just, what are you laughing at?
Yeah, let's bring this out of the public, Stuffy.
I didn't do anything.
Stuffy's got his saddle league. He's listed off all the guests that are confirmed. Of course, next to Stuffy's name, he's got 5 gold medals, 2 silver, 1 bronze. And then next to my name, there's not my little bronze medal.
The Davis Land is not related to what you, our...
I think it should be.
What are you talking about?
He's talking about the
little tournament.
Which little... Oh, link me in my other... You gotta send it to my other Skype so I can bring it up. I didn't...
I guarantee one of those gold medals that Seppi has right there is the Davis Land gold medal.
I actually saw this.
No.
Troll Hunter.
This is a good way to start. Where is it? Oh my God!
Look at this gold!
Oh my God!
Yeah,
I have 5 gold medals.
Hey Jeff, how does it feel to be under Crown Fan, who has a silver and a bronze as well?
Well, by these rules, I have yet to attend this tournament, so we'll see.
So this is how many times you've won this tournament, Suppy?
Yes.
And this is also the tournament that you throw.
Yeah. And usually I put my own prize pool, and then I just win whatever I put.
Win your own money back.
You know what, Suppy? It's funny because back in the days of, like pre-lands and lands early on, we would play Tekken 2 at this little game shop, and I would win and win and win. And so finally, I started putting my own money up into the pot, trying to entice more players to come just because I want a better competition. Mm-hmm. And eventually, one of my own buddies who I practice with regularly finally won the money. He, finally won the 50. But that's going to happen to you, dude. You just watch out.
Yeah.
And it's going to be in control.
Well, no, look at that list, too. Yeah.
Look at it now.
The entire Root team is coming.
Man, are you worried?
Yeah, I'm pretty worried.
Should be. Yeah, absolutely.
That list is good. You're right. The entire Root team.
And to make matters worse, this player named Abstinence actually cloned himself and is playing twice.
Really?
If you look at that list. Oh, my God.
Yeah, Pulse Abstinence.
A.K.A. Abstinence.
How do you know it's not two Allens that just happen to have Abstinence in their name?
Well, one's on Pulse and one's not, but they're both, Allen.
No, maybe his abstinence just pulses, and Alan's just has regular abstinence.
Don't they teach you how to count in Berkeley, Suppy?
Hit F5.
Someone got a little bit crazy with the good old copy and paste. Suppy, for the sake of the tournament, I kind of hope that Pulse Abstinence is going to get one of those gold medals next to his name.
He's our up and rising player, man.
Up and rising.
Yeah. We paid to send him to MLG. We paid for his flight and everything.
Nice.
But then he lost.
Are you serious?
Wait, you paid for it?
I paid for it along with some other people in our esports club. We crowdfunded him to go.
Wait, who? Abstinence?
Yeah.
Oh, for real?
Little Berkeley squad.
Oh,
yeah,
right, they did. Yeah.
Cuz he's our second best player now. He's grandmaster.
That good? Wow.
Yeah, the other two players have been Grandmaster, but they're not this season. But then Abstinence is actually Grandmaster.
Good for him. The other way we start the show every single week is... Let's just get this out of the way right now, guys. Congratulations and welcome to Inside the EG. all right. All right. We can move on now.
Somebody's
we got out of
like
the way.
Wolf laugh there, really made that, by the way. That was good. That was good. I like that.
Thank you.
What's up, Thorzane? How's
Yo,
it going?
What's up?
How's it going?
My brother.
What's up, brother? How are things?
Pretty good. Exhausted, tired, but still very alert. I don't know how that adds up, but that's how I feel right now.
That's a good state to be in. That's a good state to be in.
Mm-hmm.
Suppy, we know that all you can think about right now is those adding another gold medal to your... But no, seriously, how are you?
I'm all right. I've been a little busy the last 2 days. I got a little sick, so if you hear me coughing, you know what's up.
Oh.
I actually have something else on my mind before adding more gold medals.
I know that what it is.
Yeah, I need to add a gold medal to something else.
Yeah.
What's that?
My Super Star Strikers tournament number 2 record.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna do it.
Did you win the gold medal last time?
No.
We got the non-medal.
Who won the gold medal last time, Seppi?
Yeah, it's kind of bad to talk shit when you're talking about the one tournament you didn't win, right? The one that DJ Wheat won?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Wait, Titanium won, I think. Titanium? Yeah. Kaioken,
yeah, hell yeah. I just got him water, man, and it was great. It was awesome. We're going to talk more about it in a second because groups were released today. So I'm happy to hear you're excited about that. In Control.
What's up?
How are you?
In my immediate life, I can report on a few things. I did beat BioShock Infinite. Glorious, awesome game. I think I talked about that last time. Playing Last of Us Now. Really good game. In terms of StarCraft.
It's really good.
Yeah. I've been streaming. I will not be going to Valencia, so I'll be having a good time watching that. And they always put on a good show. Mm-hmm. Seltzer and Smix hosting should be a lot of fun. Smix, one of the best translators on the scene, but I'm really interested to see how she does hosting as well. And, of course, we're sending several players there, so really fun to do that. And then later in August, and this is way out there, but I'm just excited about it, Kaldor and Idra commentating together at Asus ROG. Yes!
Yeah, we had Greg on Kings of Tin yesterday, and he talked a little bit about that, and he was like, you know, like, I totally expect it to be like 12-hour days and have delirious casting at the end. I'm like, dude, you know, 12-hour days, like, Kaldor can be a beast. He'll like give up lunch breaks and stuff to cast more Star. No, Jeff, you don't need to eat. And then, boom, just casting.
And I'm excited for Pacific Rim this weekend. But otherwise, just streaming, playing. I was on a really good streak of games the last couple days, so I've climbed up to number. I think the highest I was like 33 GM, but right now I'm sitting at 44, which is nice for me. Usually I'm around 50. But if in this season I could cut into like 30, 40, 20, something like that, I'll be really happy because that means I'm playing better than I was before and I'm still working at it.
Right on. Excellent, boys. All right, well, let's get started. What are we going to kick off with? Oh, yes! Last week we ended the show with a to-be-continued. No one knew what happened to Goatless because seriously, he's like...
Is he okay?
He's like always here, so... I got a message, like, let me actually look at the timestamps on it. It was, okay, so this was on Tuesday, July 2nd, I messaged him, and I said, hey, we missed you, hope everything is okay. And on Saturday, July 6th, he messages me, yeah, mate, I hurt myself a little bit rolling a dune buggy. Not a whole lot of fun. And then I was like, are you okay? Did you get injured? He says, yeah, I'm pretty okay, but my arm is still feeling a little bit strange, so I'm going to get it checked out. Alas, it sounds like he's okay.
Yeah?
I'm guessing we'll get a full update tonight, including like a play-by-play of exactly what happened, like how big of a dune he was trying to jump, how much air he got, because I don't think you just roll a buggy going 5 miles an hour across, Australian plains. Like, did he hit a kangaroo? Was there a dingo eating a baby that it just, he swerved as to not hit the dingo or the baby? As a result, he rolled the dune buggy. I don't know. But too much Fosters, Dodar said. Either way, we'll talk to Goatless tonight and get a full update. So there we go. You can sleep easy. This came up on Reddit today. And it's funny because... Someone on my stream was like, why do you play that way? I'm like, because I'm too lazy to turn it off. But there was a Reddit thread with Grubby saying, you know, I play with experience points on because I can see when burrowed units die. And, of course, you've got all these people who are like, smartest thing ever. You got all these people who are like, too lazy to turn it off. I'm actually curious with you guys. Do you guys play with XP on? Is there like that value to it? Do you see that as well?
Yeah, I think it's great. Like, sometimes I'm not... watching when the units die, and then I like go to that screen and I see like dead bodies and I see the experience points. Oh, like 10 Lings died because I see that there's experience points around my Widow Mine.
Right.
But like, if I wouldn't have them, I'd be like, because I don't play with like the corpses laying around. So I wouldn't know if I killed them or not. Yes, low graphics, ultra textures. Like, I don't think it's annoying at all. So even if it's just like, even if it can help me every once in a while, I'm going to use it. Like,
I think it's kind of cool. I didn't even think of that until they posted it. But I guess it's interesting that Grubby does that, because for us ProDOS players, we usually have all our units on one hotkey on one screen, so we know exactly what's living and dying. I'm just kidding. But it is helpful, and it is really cool. There have been a few times where not necessarily having experience points helped, but when they, like... What is the other one that happens? Is it salvage? Or no, what am I thinking of?
Yeah, yeah.
Canceled. Yeah. Canceled, right? Doesn't canceled pop up or whatever? Yeah, yeah. Canceled a pop up. And sometimes
actually,
that one...
Only, you know. I think, when you're casting. Like, I
is
don't,
it only when you're casting?
I don't think as a player you see...
Should not do this show high on cocaine.
No, you know what? Actually, man, God damn it. I actually, because if you kill like a baneling that's morphing.
That's the one. Is it banelings?
No, but you do see it.
Banelings, they canceled. Yeah, that's what I thought. You were fucking with my brain. See, I have actual faith in what I say. So I just say things, and like the second someone's like, nope, that's not right in games, I'm probably like, you're probably smarter than me. Nope. You're right. So I just back off.
I think if you cancel an egg, though, it doesn't say anything.
I think it does. Oh, you mean like a larvae?
Like
a larva.
That's must been what
no,
I was thinking.
No, I think
of.
It says something too.
Maybe.
I think Stuffy. It does.
Jeff was so sure of himself. Now there's two people that don't know what they're talking about.
So in the chat says yes.
Is it? Yeah.
Okay.
And then
no, but does it say 100-100? Like if it's a mutalisk, does it say like the gas?
No, it does not. Just says cancel.
Just says.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I think little information like that's interesting. And then someone in the thread posted, like, if you kill a medevac, does it give you experience for everybody inside of it? And it doesn't, which I think would be ridiculous. That's way too much information.
What are you talking about, man? That's well-earned experience right there. I mean, as someone who cares a lot about seeing his XP bar increase, Jeff, I feel like I'm getting cheated out of each Marine that is in there or each Hellbat or whatever.
I went to the doctor's office today, and I had a lot of time to just sit and think. And I read this thread on my phone, and one of the things that I thought about that's interesting, and then there's like a secondary thought to it. I thought how interesting it would be if on each of your characters that you have selected, or units rather, like let's say I have a Templar, like a larger white black rimmed number would appear next to the Templar that says like 63, and it's its energy ticking up, and it would do that for spellcasters. So that you could look at your units, like if I had 10 sentries and they all had those numbers next to them, I could very quickly be like, oh, well, I have 9 force fields or I have 12 force fields or something like that. But then the second thought I had is that I think part of what makes StarCraft so great is limited information. So as it applies to the Grubby thing, I think that's an interesting loophole that he found that Blizzard has zero intention of doing. Like, there's going to be somebody that's like, finally, they discovered it. We totally, we've been, you know, waiting for it. No, that's been going on in StarCraft forever, where people find uses for things like stacked mutas that Blizzard had zero idea about. But I think we should look at this and wonder if that's, like, I think in tournaments, it wouldn't be crazy that someone was like, actually, we're outlawing that you have experience on, because we do think that players that can do more with less information are cooler. Just throwing it out there. That's not something I'm settled on, but I think it's something worth talking about. Not with Thorzin. I mean, it takes way too long to talk. Suppy, what are your thoughts about it?
About disabling it in tournament play?
No, not Suppy either. What are you going with on this one?
I actually was going to agree with Thorzin because I'm pretty sure that he was like,
you only said
like it's not that big of a deal. Yeah, but we both had that sort of tone, and like what was coming next was undoubtedly going to be like.
He has one tone. He's Swedish. He has one selection.
What were you going to, Thorzin? You were going to say like it's not that big of a deal, right?
Oh, it's a huge deal. It's a really unfair advantage to everyone using experience points. It should definitely be outlawed immediately. And I feel ashamed for using it myself. It feels like I'm hacking. But you agree with me, right? That's what you were saying.
Yes, absolutely, I do.
Yeah, okay.
All this time. We need to put an asterisk next to all the tournaments that Thorzane's won now.
Suppy, what do you think?
I mean, it only benefits people playing against Zerg, so I think it should be removed.
No, I mean, well, I guess, yeah, for Burrowed, but
I mean, I guess there's cloaked.
Cloaked units. And like Thorzane said, like, if you didn't catch that something died, the numbers fucking float there for a while.
So it does help. I just personally think it's really annoying. It's, like, so ugly.
And sometimes...
Wait, the XP numbers?
Yes.
Wait, Seppy.
They float, man. Seppy. They're like little sound boxes.
There's a video one time where I killed like 51 mutas with fungals. And like
I saw that on Aquila.
The XP rising up from the muta corpses was probably the greatest thing about the day. So you can take your not wanting floating XP and just march right the hell out of here because it's the best. As for tournament play, actually, I don't know. It seems like so insignificant. That seems like Jeff said one of these cool things, but I don't know about actually.
Yeah, it's a very rare scenario that it's
I don't think anyone should have a super strong opinion one way or the other. It's not that big of a deal, you know.
But you know what? The next time we have a really slow news week, we should bring it back up and make a big fucking deal about it. And just get out the pitchforks and be like, "We demand that people start to." Are you down? No.
I'm down. I got your back.
Okay, that's good. I'm into that. All right, the Super Star Strikers Cup 2 has been announced, and the groups have been announced, and this is exciting because the last time there was a Super Star Strikers Cup, I only got to talk smack to Suppy, but now I get to talk smack to both Suppy and Thorzane, and hopefully for the third cup, In Control will have a team, and then it'll just come full circle. It'll be great. But seriously, Thorzane, you're sort of new to the cup, but I'm excited that you're participating. Seppi, you're returning with pretty much the same team. I'm going to bring up the groups here, but
the groups are out.
Yes, they are out. They are most certainly out. I believe that you can find them on Team Liquid under tourneys, C2 tourneys.
You mean the teams are out. You mean the group, like the two groups?
Yeah, the groups were. Oh, you know what? I have it right here. Boom, boom.
Oh, I see.
Here we go. I'll paste you this link. I wasn't ready for this. I'm sorry. Okay, actually, I'm pasting it to Jeff, and I'm hoping that he'll paste it to you guys.
Wait, is Greg seriously playing with Chris?
Yes, he seriously is playing with Chris. All right.
Like, how does? They were forced to?
What? No, I think they actually made this team. Here, let's take a look.
Who?
All right.
What team?
The Outrageous. So the groups are Group A, Kings of Tin, which is, of course, the champions right there. Team Total Croissant, which is Total Biscuit and Todd and their players. From Sexbots to Autobots, which is Suppy's team.
I don't know why we're on the same group again. It should be first place and second place.
Thank you. That is exactly what I told Chanman today. It's like it makes no sense that the number one team and the number two team were not in two different groups. But he insists that apparently that Team Big Daddy is the number two group. And as this number two finisher in tournament number one, Suppy, I would have some words. But Team Balls and then TLO's team. Which is apparently he has created this team of super Germans. None of them apparently Star Strikers pros. He's just, they're going in raw. They're going to create their own styles. They're going to come in with their own meta. They might blow the fucking brains out of people. It could be awesome. That's
if anyone could do it, I think it's TLO.
Dude, that's what I sold to Chanman. I'm like, Chanman, you never underestimate TLO. Like, that is the dumbest thing that you could do.
I played a ladder game against TLO, and he was like, the first thing he said was, he was starting to talk about the tournament and like how he has been practicing Star Strikers and such.
Yes.
So, it'll be scary.
Yep, exactly. But apparently, Suppy, you're now the number three team, even though you got second place in last tournament. Just saying. Group B is Daddy and Sons, Select, an Illusion, Barbecue Boys, which is the Muslim and Machine. Indra and Huck. Thorzane and Flo, and then we've got Smix.
What'd you say? Idra and Huck?
Yes.
They're on a team?
Yes, they're on a
team. That's what I was.
And listen,
like,
no offense, but I'm looking at these groups, and Group A is the group of death again. Like, Suppy, can I get an amen, brother? Like, I feel like even as champions, what the fuck, yo.
Yeah.
And I already had my words with Chan Man. Chan Man insists that he laid everything out. He feels like this is the best, you know, these are the best groups. We'll see.
But at least three teams make it out of each bracket now?
Three teams make it out of each bracket.
Okay. I think that's more reasonable, though, than
it is. It is. And I think Chan Man should just do whatever. The only thing is, like, you guys were second place, man.
Yeah.
That part I just can't compute. So Thorzane and Flo. Thorzane.
Yes.
You are in groups with Select Illusion, The Muslim Machine, Idra Huck, Smix and Megumi X Bear. What are you going to do? How are you going to do?
Win.
You're going to
kick some ball.
You're going to win your group.
Like, okay, so I'm a team with an American team. Like, only Ben is European in our team, isn't that right?
Yes.
And as far as I know, Americans can't play soccer, so it should go the same way in, like, soccer too. So
what
I
a hypocritical statement. You said Americans can't play soccer. It's called football, you European slut.
So you're
whatever.
Not, you think
and
you'll
then,
advance.
Easy. I haven't played the game in ages.
Okay.
But I'm European.
Good excuse.
So.
Good excuse.
So. I'm just gonna give you a little tip, I guess.
Oh,
but
yes.
I think
I don't need your
can
tip.
Can I have you on record as giving him just the tip? Can I give you on record as just
tip.
Giving him the tip? Just the tip.
I won't listen.
What tip?
Well, I want to, what
just
is
give him
the tip?
Tip. Just the tip.
Oh
what
no, I was just gonna say they gotta look out for Daddy and Sons.
Yeah.
Because that team is pretty beast, even though
they
didn't make out of groups.
They are beast.
Apparently our
and they're not really American. They're, like, Korean-American, so it's, like, borderline.
So super, yeah,
they're, like, that's super.
That's actually true. They might be good at soccer. Football. I don't know what to call it anymore.
They're good. I'm telling you. We played their team. That team gave us a hard time. I mean, Suppy's team kind of gave us a hard time at first, but then we fucking downloaded the shit out of them. And then we just beat them. So...
How did
win.
You guys, like, did you guys, like, the extra players, there's you two, and then there's, like, two more. Did you just get randomly matched up with them, or did you, like, choose them?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it was just random people.
Okay.
Completely random, no selection process, no recruitment.
No, actually, the two guys are guys that have played on Kings of Ten before. So we played with our guys before. Well, usually we played against them, so it was the first time we teamed up with them, really.
Okay. Well, when does this start?
It starts on Sunday.
Yeah,
okay,
you guys
so...
gotta start preparing.
Yes.
When does it finish?
It finishes
Sunday.
On Sunday. It's one
it's
day.
The same... Okay. So the next...
Yes, so the next...
inside
hey, guys.
The game.
Guys.
Hold on.
Real quick, I just added up all the fucks I give about a Star Strikers tournament. It came out to zero, astoundingly so.
No. You don't understand. When you can have a team and you can, like, talk some shit in control, then I understand that you would find this discussion to be...
You're talking shit with Thorzane and Suppy, two of the most innocent human beings in the known world.
I know, but it's going to be...
You're like, Suppy, what are you gonna do this week? And he's like, I'm going to win! I'm going to win so good. Thorzane, I got a tip for you. Can I give you just the tip?
No, I don't want your tip.
The tip is this other team is really good.
Okay.
Meanwhile, In Control sits there dying just a little bit inside.
Was that the Lumpy That's... Space Princess voice?
Most of my accents can be broken down into an impression of Lumpy Space Princess. Yeah.
Okay.
Can you say maybe some shit talking that Suppy should say in that voice that you feel like would be more appropriate and you'd get, like, more behind?
Thorzane, I guess it doesn't really matter about the group because, like, you're not going to get top three.
You just wait. Flo and I will decimate you in soccer.
I know that Chan Man's mad at me because we already had this conversation, but hey, I'm going to be salty. Because that's how I feel. So, Chan Man, thank you for doing the tournament. Everyone will tune in this weekend for Super Star Strikers Cup 2. and In Control, maybe next time you'll be cool enough to have a team. Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe I'll start the first cheerleader league to coincide with your guys's, and then we can, I could sign up cheerleaders for your guys's different teams.
Well, let me give you a tip, In Control.
Just the tip.
The tip. You can start cheerleading with Thorzane and Suppy because okay. I'm all good.
Yeah, you got this. Yeah, I have confidence.
I got this.
If you were to host a Star Strikers tournament, you could say that you could put a gold medallion next to your name and zero next to Suppy.
That's right. Maybe I will. Maybe I will. Yep. All right. Let's talk WCS as Season 2 still underway. It was kind of kicking off last week when we got started right before the 4th. By the way, did you guys have a good 4th? I never really asked. Like, no?
I went.
You guys don't have fireworks, do you? Like,
no, not in California. That starts real big fires.
Bunch of bitches.
And Thorzane doesn't understand what 4th of July means, so even though he was in California, he too did not do fireworks. I was at Seltzer's house, and we played poker. I watched them play PlayStation All-Stars, which is a worse version of Smash.
True.
And then I got to play Mario Kart 64, and that made it a good day because I won. My only win at that game.
But no fireworks.
We can't do fireworks in California. Oh. It burns cities down.
Oh. People still do it, but you're not supposed to.
Really? Because I saw a lot of fireworks, and I'm in California.
Are you
it's illegal, but they do it.
Yeah. Those bastards. All right, anyway, WCS Season 2 underway. Start with Korea, actually, as, you know, I got to be honest, guys, I still, like, have this hard time getting over this sort of strangeness that is what we had last year, and now it's just, not last year, but, I mean, last season, the whole GSL and GOM, or GOM and OSL. I don't know, it's just weird, like, it's just kind of weird. But anyway, we have a lot of results have happened. About to go and do pretty much ending with the round of 16, and they've done something a little bit different. I wanted to get you guys' opinions on this because they've been playing games from different groups every day. And it's a lot different than just like, here you go, here's a group, and the results are out. And actually, at first I was like, why the hell are they doing that? Especially when it's just something that they've done. They go through a group and then that's it, and you know who advances and you know who doesn't, and now it sort of drives up this anticipation. But I was thinking about it, and it's kind of nice because my favorite players I sort of watch is over time. I think the anticipation for these matches intensifies, but it's definitely different. What are you guys' thoughts on the group stage to round of 16, how they're pulling matches from different groups?
I didn't watch it, but I think it sounds like a great idea. Like, so they have these groups and they play, like, instead of playing one group at a time, they split it up a bit. So, like, for a player, he'd have to play in, like, three different days.
Yes, that is correct. So, for example, I think that first night was Sulky. It was like Sulky Symbol, Flash Innovation. I think it was. I don't remember if it was First Fantasy or Rain. And then I think it was Maru and Trap. So that was from completely different groups all around.
That sounds really cool. It sounds like the players will have more time to prepare for each match. And they will get, like, sometimes if you play the first game, you might be, like, playing really well. But, like, at the last game of the day, you might be playing kind of sloppy. It shouldn't happen with this structure. So I'm all for it.
I think Thorzane gave the glass is half full answer, and I don't disagree with anything he said. There's pros and cons to both, I do feel, but for me personally, like, I think if I'm playing a little bit more on the devil's advocate side of this and portraying the negative, I would say that it kind of kills group storylines. You could say it actually strengthens it because it gives them more time to talk about it, but by broadcasting different groups intermittently together, I think that kind of makes the story a little bit more confusing, so it's a little bit harder to tell who's where in a group, whereas, like, after the dust settles, you're then like, oh, okay, that's where people finished, whereas if you play it out all out in one day, you're like, oh, my God, this guy's playing for elimination, you know, whereas later they're like,
again, those things will get mentioned and they get told. So it's not like I don't think it like butchers the storyline. I just think it makes it a little bit more confusing. And then the flip side of what Thorzane said is that if you're playing bad early in the day and later in the day, or vice versa, excuse me, you're playing good, but then you end up playing bad. Whereas if you have more time between matches, there's a chance that you play bad one day but good another. That's definitely true. But there's also it's also worth saying that it's kind of hard to – for some people, it's hard to like stop and go with those matches. A lot of times you will get training – or not a lot of times, but you always get training in between. So it's not like he's cold playing these matches. But some people prefer to like lose a match and then immediately play the next one, or win a match and then keep that momentum going and play the next match. Whereas if you stop, the momentum from that win discontinues for a lot of people, and then they go into the next match.
I mean, I think we could all agree that the likelihood they did this is just to sort of, you know, extend the sort of, I guess, having flash, having innovations matches over several days versus like, here these players play, and oh, the next day maybe the players aren't as interesting. I mean, it definitely is a good idea in terms of doing that. But I agree with you, Jeff. I can see how that can, you know, and some players... I'm sure it benefits some players differently. That's actually one of the things that I love about StarCraft and formats. You know, we talked about it many times. Some tournaments are stamina. Some are being able to study your opponent and work it inside and out and come up with perfect strats against them. And this is probably no different. You know, in some cases, those players that do work off that momentum are screwed. Other players that work on studying their opponents are like, hell yeah, you know, give me this format all day long. It's pretty interesting, but of course it's... It's extending the life of the round of 16 in Korea.
I agree with what Jeff said. Like, it's, I was thinking from a player perspective, I really like it. But like from just someone watching the tournament, I think it could be... like I wouldn't appreciate it as much as if all the games were played in one day. Probably.
I think it's really up to like the player to adapt to it, though. Like, so even if one format is better for this type of player or another type of player, like the real test of like how good a player is their ability to adapt to different formats. So I think it's cool to introduce this this new format just as like an experiment sort of.
And to go off of Thorzane's point too, I do think as a player, while I did talk about momentum and certainly that's true, I think the vast majority would rather prefer space between matches so that they can plan accordingly, especially at this stage where you're no longer facing like an MLG bracket where, yeah, you're facing a dangerous guy, but he's not like a top tier guy. Whereas in this, it's each guy is super, super powerful. So you'd want to construct builds, you'd want to research them, and you'd want to know what maps you're going into, and you'd treat each one. Right. So for the player, I think it's better. And I guess the only way my point has any legitimacy is, in my opinion, it's then more stress on the commentators to really grow that story. Because I think it's extremely provocative to be like, this guy has had 3 or 4 days to prepare for this match. This is what he's got best. Right. And then when he busts out a cheese, you don't just say he's a random cheeser, which they don't say, but you know, you don't even allow that to be like a thought. You instead say he planned for this specific strat and whoa, it's working so well. Like it creates, you have to give narrative to that storyline, which is it's non-unique. You always had to do that. But I feel like with it being a more confusing broadcast schedule like this, it means you have to do a better job of that. And if you don't do a better job of that, then it creates, I think, a really flat broadcast. I think it looks like a lot of random great games that the hardcore fans love. But if I'm a casual looking in, I'm like, okay, so who advanced? And they're like, well, you know, we'll have to find out next week. And they're like, what? Why?
Right, like, right. And actually, Dajin did in chat say, it's only hard to understand where people are in the group if you're incapable of reading Liquipedia and using your brain, which is true, but you got to keep in mind there's a non-hardcore out there that's kind of like, you know, they won, so where do they go? How does it work?
Right.
So, I mean, it's, in any case, regardless of what league, what game, whatever, that's always up to the production to, you know, to have that stuff capable. But I think they have done a good job of just doing the recaps, as GOM usually does. Anyway, the GOM TV studio is also the site of the Challenger rounds. I have to be honest with you guys. In Season 2, I've been able to catch much less out of Premier. And I think that's just because there's actually so much going on. There's been a few times where, you know, there's been some crucial Challenger matches. But there's been a lot of WCS content continuing. So, Why don't we talk about EU? We did today have Thorzane play. So, Thorzane, I'm hoping maybe you can give some thoughts on your game. You also were playing from U.S., right, to EU, which is a little bit different. Can you talk to us about those games a little bit?
I don't know where to start. Like, start off against Rets.
Yeah.
Lost 0-2, and then I played against Baby Knight, lost 0-2. I feel like against Rhett, I was, like, there were times in both games where I felt like, okay, I'm gonna win this game now, but then I ended up fucking up. I don't know what went wrong. Like, I wasn't playing bad. I wasn't playing the best games of my life, but I wasn't playing bad at all, and I felt like I was coming into the games very prepared. I had played a lot and had, like, the game plan well thought out. And it wasn't the hardest group either. Like, these are players that I don't fear as much as some of the other groups, like where we have players as Lucifron, Naneva, Koreans. Like, there was none of these in my group, so I was going into this quite confident, but not overly confident, so I was expecting to do quite well. But then, well, obviously I didn't. I don't know. That's the story of my games today.
Have you been, you obviously traveled MLG still in the U.S. Have you been playing on the EU server, or you've been playing on U.S.?
I played some on the EU server, not a lot. Like, mostly just this morning. Like, I played for 2-3 hours before the games, and then I played only on EU. But, like, the ping is worse, obviously, than playing from Europe to Europe. But I didn't feel like I lost because of my ping. Like, maybe it had some impact on the games, but not a huge one.
All right.
What was your mindset going into the game? Like, do you ever read the TL previews, like, before you play your matches? I was just curious.
I stopped doing those kind of things because it makes me, like, just puts on more pressure, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes I read, like, the previews before, and then they're like, oh, Seppi's going to lose, and I feel really bad. And, like,
I know.
I actually do end up losing.
Yeah, but when it,
doesn't matter if it says, like, Seppi's going to win, then it's going to be like, oh, my God, everybody's expecting me to win. Let's like, get, like, this added pressure. But if Seppi's going to lose, it's like, oh,
I'll
you
tell
just
you guys,
get sad.
Yes, the God-honest truth, and I get to be the old weathered guy that's kind of come in and out of competition
tell
now that I would
us,
tell you.
Jeff.
It's like,
tell
in
us.
My day, but what I would tell you is 1,000%, like, even if you play a great series and you win, you'll read 25 good comments, but it's those 2 or 3 super negative ones that actually take any space in your brain at all. And I'll tell you, I read all the comments. I fed off it. I responded to a bunch of it earlier on in my career too. You can't do it as a competitor. You have to keep your mind as absolutely clear as you possibly can. Like, I'm not even kidding you. My best recommendation to you guys, but everyone listening, is, like, if you're a month out from any kind of competition you give a rat's ass about, you should not be anywhere near a forum. Anywhere near. Because they'll be like, hey, this group's coming out. And the first 5 comments will be like, great, he's one of my favorite players. I'm so thankful. And then they'll just be the one random guy who's like, nah, ever since the past 2 tournaments that he hasn't won, he's really fallen off. He's fucking horrible. And that you'll be like, no, that's not true. And then the next comment will start, like, they'll start to dig into you, and it occupies space in your brain. And I'll tell you what, I've never heard of a player legitimately, like, reading, who's like, they're like, you just won DreamHack, how do you feel? And he's like, well, I gotta tell you, I was on the forums before the tournament, and everyone said I could do it, and I felt like I could do it, and then I did it. Very rarely is it that way. Like,
and
you give
you forums because I owe it all to you.
Be like,
well,
oh,
there was actually last year before Anaheim. Like, one of my really close friends was like in the MLG like forum or whatever. He was like, oh, I'm calling it now. EG Seppi or Check Six Seppi makes it out of open bracket, and then like that was like some nice like momentum for me, and then I actually did it. So his prediction came true. So I thought that was really cool.
Yep. And that was cool when that was the only guy that would ever talk about you because you were a complete nobody. And now that you're on the scene, you're actually – your name trolls for comments. And the more famous you are, the more likely you are to get
a high frequency of great comments, but that also means a larger number, not necessarily frequency, but a larger number of people that are like, nah, he's terrible. And one time I saw him lose to a six pool, and that means he's garbage. So nobody should follow him. And it shouldn't matter. Everyone says, oh, that doesn't affect me. But I promise you, it absolutely does. So do not read forums anywhere near that stuff. And it's good to hear Thorzane say that he's recognized that now. And Suppy, you too need to do your best to not do that.
What do you guys think about, like, reading forum posts after you won something or played well? Like, I used to do that, and I know, like, most players, they go and, like, just read to feel good about themselves. Like, they beat someone good, it was streamed, they go check every single comment, like, 10 pages, and, like, I'm so good.
Yeah.
Like,
I would tell you, if I was the dictator of a team, I would outrule it. I would not allow it.
I don't think it's good in the long run. Like,
right.
I am very, very guilty of that. Every single time. Even if I lose, I'll just search my name on Team Liquid and like.
Even if you lose?
Even if I lose. Yeah, I don't usually watch the games that I lose. Like I don't, which I should, because actually it's like more learning to watch the games that you lose than the ones that you won. But like I'll even like go and watch like the commentary of the game if I won. Like I watched the game I won yesterday, I watched the game Marcus, you were casting it, me versus Polt game 2. And I watched it just because I wanted to hear what like the commentary was saying.
You know, like, but let me tell you from my perspective, right? Like, I know how hard you work. I know what the experience is like being up there on the stage. Like, I think that's awesome because to me, it shows that you obviously care about it. You know, you want to produce good results. Like, so I do think like what Jeff is saying, there's a lot of weight to avoiding a lot of bullshit. But it's almost like rewarding yourself. Like, look at this hard work. You know what I mean? Like, and there's something to be said about that.
You are 1,000% correct. And here's the thing. Like, all throughout my career, one of the things that I think enriched my ability to cast or my ability to help teammates out with knowing my opponents was that I did read everything. I know when Nurchio's on a slide in a certain matchup and he's starting to rage about it, and then I know what makes that happen. There is benefits to that. There certainly is. And I also have done well in some tournaments and read comments, and I've gotten teary-eyed because I'm like, this means a lot to me. And it is. It's good. But if tomorrow, okay, Walmart said, Jeff, we want to give you $10 billion to put together the perfect StarCraft team, I would go out and hire the best players, and then literally, in order to produce the best results, I would their computers would be so fucking hilarious. They'd like enter the words team and the website would go like the computer would go like this. And then they'd be like team space Walmart. And then it's like, oh, you're fine. But then they'd go team lick, like LIQ. And the website would punch them in the head. The computer would just punch them in the fucking face because they wouldn't be allowed to go anywhere near a forum. Because if you're only concerned with results, there is some benefit, there is some reward to reading good comments, but what it does to your brain to read all the negative comments that are always around those. I've seen fucking bad words about Grubby on Reddit. It has happened, okay? So if I'm Grubby and I'm reading, oh, that's nice, oh, that's great, I'm Grubby, delicious. Then there's one guy who's like, it's not an impression, it's just a weird voice. But then there's just the one guy who's like, guys, real talk, Grubby hasn't actually won anything, and he looks like a caveman. And then Grubby's like, fuck. But there was 100 other nice comments.
Right.
And maybe on that day it doesn't really get to him, but they stack up. You don't forget. And they build momentum, too, because if you respond to any of them, it's like actually trying to fight fire with gasoline. You're like, stop it, fire. And you're like, whoa, that's weird, more gasoline. And then it just starts a raging inferno. And everyone always, like, even the nicest comments to me are usually circled with, hey, in control, I know you get a ton of shit, but I think you're a great guy. And I'm always like, thank you, you know, but they build momentum. They grow. So the best thing you can do is to not be a part of it at all.
Suppy, I want to end this discussion with the following. Follow @avoidcomments on Twitter.
Is that a real thing?
It's real. It's real. Today they posted, whenever you see a smiling child, remember, she's never read a comment in her life, and she's doing just fine. So every day there's just something else that's like, you're fucking dumb. for reading the internet comments, basically. So,
wait. Let me just. Don't you guys think even like reading the good comments might make you like somewhat complacent? Like sometimes it motivates you, like, oh, sure. I want to have that again. But like a lot of the times, it's like, I can take a day off. Not exactly like that. But, like it makes like it makes feels you feel like you achieved something. When there's even more to be achieved, like you still have room to improve, but you feel like you're on top of the world.
There's got to be like a, you know, there's got to be sort of like a limit, right? Because everyone knows that you can get complacent, but that's not going to win you games and win you tournaments, right? I mean, do you ever think, Thorzane, that players are really that disillusioned?
No, well, I think I know what he means because, like, if I do, like, decently in a tournament, even though, like, the goal is to, like, finish in the top 4 or top 8 or whatever, if I get, like, top 30 and I read some good comments about myself, sometimes I'll be like, oh, like, it wasn't a bad tournament. Like, I feel okay about it. I'm like, satisfied. But in reality, I think everybody should be striving for more. So I think I know what he means.
Someone in chat finally said it. There is actually people out there that get paid to filter media. I mean, it happens.
Yes.
Like
his next comment is just hire
sports. One. Yeah. Well, of course, just someone needs to just hire a fucking media manager.
Here's a thousand.
However,
esports, son. Thank
it,
you.
It should right. It should be said that those guys do exist. Like this is standard practice in like a lot of entertainment industry, for a lot of writers, all sorts of things. So, you know, maybe one day. But, yeah, I don't think there's too much budget out there right now for media
managers. Absolutely. One day that'll happen. Like, again, with that $10 billion Walmart team, I would have a cook. I would have a maid. I would have a PR manager. I would, like, you would tweet at your favorite player, like, dear Walmart Jadong, you're the best. And responding from Jadong's account would be, dear valued and favorite fan, you are awesome. I love you, and I cannot wait to compete in your honor. And they'll be like, Jadong tweeted at me. Jadong tweeted at me. And they're like, not Jadong. It's Michael R. Connolly sitting in an office in New York on Jadong's account. Like, that's how it happens, guys. Like, you don't tweet at actual celebs and get responses back. Not the big ones, but let's hope we get to that point. Let's hope we get to the point where the superstars can be insulated and taken care of. But for right now, Stefano will tweet, what's a movie recommendation? You control the shit out of him and recommend one, and then he'll respond back like, you're despicable, I hate you. And you'll be like, oh, that was Stefano. Because it probably was. And then he could tweet a picture of him holding a knife inside of an airplane. And that was Stefano. And it probably shouldn't have been. And in the future, those things will get taken care of.
All right, I don't even know how we got on that, but we'll continue on. We've talked about WCS Korea. We've talked about WCS EU. Let's go ahead and let's talk about WCS Korea now. They're about to get started in the round. What's so funny, Suppy?
Wait, I thought you did that on purpose.
What are you talking about?
Wait, not. Did you do that?
Yeah,
okay, I
did that on purpose.
So. Okay, yeah.
you're the best. All right, so the groups have not actually started yet. When does it start? Because they're in Challenger right now, if I'm not mistaken.
What? Okay, okay. I'm blasting about.
Oh man. No, seriously. When does it start?
Oh,
did the awesome July, like fake light laugh? Then you're like, no, seriously.
July 14th, something like next
okay,
week.
Okay, next week. So it's just Challenger up till now. All right. Well, let's just take a look at the groups.
It's like qualifiers right now for Challenger.
Oh, qualifier for Challenger as well.
So far, 6 Koreans have qualified out of 8 total.
How many more do you think will qualify?
Probably 2 more.
We actually, I mean, there's still a few here for group stage. One that's left, like Suppy, you're still an A hope here.
Oh, I'm talking about the like qualifiers.
I know you're talking about the qualifiers for Challenger, but you're just worried about those guys coming in anyway, right?
Eventually.
Eventually. Let me see if I can find those. Because honestly, I have not been able to catch many of them. Who's left? Seppi, do you know?
For Premier League?
Yeah. No, for the challengers. Come on, man.
I mean, the people who have been doing well consistently have it's like Masan, Select. I'm talking about non-Koreans. Some guy named Elige, I think.
Have you been watching any of these?
I have been watching occasionally. Because at first I wanted to cast. Me, Major, and Scarlet. I think I talked about this last week. Me, Major, and Scarlet were casting it. And
oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, then they said we couldn't cast it anymore. But yeah, I've been paying attention to it, like, decently.
So is anyone surprised at the end results of the qualifiers, players?
For Korea?
Yeah. No, for NA.
Oh, NA? No, it's not been surprising so far that it's two Koreans each time. Kespa, like, Major released that essentially Kespa has, like, organized who can play in which one to give them the most bullets in that gun,
yeah,
so to speak.
When you guys heard about that, what did you think? I mean, that's actually really smart. I doubt that there's a rule that says that there, you know, like, that's playing to win.
That's what happens when you're facing a military state, man. Like, Kespa will organize that shit, you know, whereas, like, GOM has no, like, direct communication to the players like that. So GOM, they go play, or ESF, I guess is what they're called. Same thing with foreigners. There's no governing body, so they just, you know, they go play. But with this, they're like, okay, you haven't heard this, but I wouldn't be surprised if they went so far as, like, to only allow their top guys in certain brackets too. Like, to give them the best chance of having 8 of the top Kespa players in there, as opposed to on this day, who wants to play? And then it's like 5 of the best ones. On the second one, it's like all mid-tier Kespa. I bet it's like really figured out that this is their best chance to get the most Kespa out there.
Why would, like, so they only can, like, field like 8 players at a time from Kespa or something like that?
Well, so they're like, well, to maximize the amount of Kespa players that we could get in, instead of throwing them all into qualifier, you know, A, because, or qualifier 1, because they actually have the power over their players, they're like, we will put these 8 players here, good luck. These great 8 players here, good luck, so that they can get some of the best players through. Like, it's a
So you can only participate in one of the qualifiers, not all 3 of them, or 2 of them?
I'm not sure how that works, but I think the... Is it? Can you continue?
So then why not... So then why not just, like, shove every single Kespa player into every single qualifier? That would guarantee more qualification, wouldn't it?
I'm unsure if you can compete in multiple qualifiers. I'm sure
that's the only way I see this being beneficial.
I think some of them have.
You can only play in, like, one of them. Otherwise, the more Kespa players, the better for Kespa.
No, actually, because I see a lot of the same players.
Am I dropping?
Like, Hitman has played him.
Yeah,
multiple.
Yeah. Bong Bong has been in.
Well, he's not Kespa, is he?
I might be back now. Looks like the internet took a hiccup.
You're back.
Yeah. We'd have to ask Juan for, like, specifics, so...
I mean, it just seems like...
No, you're right. You're right. And I guess I just assumed that everyone was a unique qualifier. Oh, we did lose Jeff. Okay. I don't know.
Maybe they're actually trying to be nice to the rest of the world. Like, we'll give you some chance. Like,
no.
We won't just throw every single Kespa guy in there.
I'm pretty sure that they're out for blood, Thorzane. I'm pretty sure about that.
I'm pretty sure about that as well.
But that'll continue. Then, like Suppy said, we're going to have the... let's see what the... Premier League starts next week, then?
Yeah, I believe it starts next week. Should be on Wikipedia. Liquipedia.
Yeah, actually, I didn't see dates above any of the groups, so I wasn't quite sure.
I know I play... Yeah, I play next week, so the whole thing should be starting next week.
It starts next week. So yeah. You can also go to wcs.battle.net, where they've got all the updates as well. And that's going to pretty much be it for WCS. The schedule is over on wcs.battle.net. Actually, I'll bring that up right now and show it real quick as we wrap up. But everything's been great. It's been running good as usual. I'll tell you what. keep mentioning it, but I always have something to watch StarCraft related, which is pretty great. Between this and LCS, it's been fantastic. So you can find that schedule over there. I'm not sure where. We lost Jeff, but I think he'll join back up with us in a second. We've got upcoming BattleNet changes to talk about. And let's see. We'll just start talking about it before, even before Jeff comes back on. But I saw this quote, you guys, and I thought it was pretty interesting. Blizzard says, "We think seeing less Hellbat play in the early mid-game is not a bad thing, as other Terran harass options are a lot more interesting to watch." And so, like, the underlying implication of that is that a spectator value is kind of driving a balance change. And that's a little weird. It's not, like, the main reason why this is being changed, but it's more like one of the reasons is that we feel like we want this to be more excited. What are your thoughts on that when you hear that? Is that weird?
I'm getting some issues.
What?
Oh, I'm back. Sorry.
Oh, yo, what's up? we basically just started talking, Jeff, about Blizzard's quote that we think seeing less Hellbat play in the early mid-game is not a bad thing, as other Terran harass options are a lot more interesting to watch, implying that spectator value is driving balance changes. And I was just basically asking everyone what they thought when you came back.
Well, I actually had the pleasure of talking to David Kim on State of the Game a while ago, and that was something he actually revealed at the time, was that they very much so watch the game, and while balance is very important to them, one of the driving factors for what they consider in balance is whether or not the game is exciting and fun to watch. And they talked about how Broodlord and Fester made for pretty boring games in general, just because it was like a slow-moving, you-don't-really-follow-it type of army. So when I hear that about this, that doesn't terribly shock me, and I think part of that's because the Hellbat is like a slow-moving, pretty unexciting unit, whereas if you compare it to like the Hellion or even the Vulture in Brood War, they were similar units, although, you know, you could argue less powerful, obviously, but because they're fast and they had less health, they were exciting in the sense that they were like a glass cannon where, like, they could do cool things, but they were also punishable, whereas the Hellbat, you know, you've heard all the complaints, but I guess just to describe the action, it would be that it can get healed. It's a tanky unit anyways, and it does a wide radius of damage. So it usually kills what it's there to kill, which is either workers or light units like Ling, Zealots, or even Marines in TBT. And then if it dies, it's inexpensive, so it's not like there's any risk there at all, you know?
I mean, Thorzane, you get affected not only by what they're doing with the Hellbats, but also with potentially a buff in that Cloak goes from 200-200 to 100-100. So what are your thoughts on both of these things?
Well, concerning the actual change in the game, I think, like, it'll have the biggest impact in TVT, so it's not going to change really any balance issues. Because TVP, even though they were, like, you could use them, I think they had the least use in TVP. And TVC, I think they're going to be basically the same, because at least the way I use them, and most players, is not to kill drones, necessarily. Like, you kill Lings and Roaches and Queens with, like, the early drops. You force units, and the units that you force, they will still die by the same amount of Hellbat shots. So, like, won't take you any longer to kill a Ling, a Roach, or a Queen. And yes, it takes one extra shot to kill drones, but I don't think that was the main point. So about them changing the game from a spectator point of view,
yeah,
I didn't see that, like, statement, and, well, I don't think Hellbats are boring myself, so, like, I think it can be quite fun to watch.
I kind of have to agree with you a little bit. I know there's a lot of people that complain about it, but And certainly I've seen a lot of games that I thought were going to be great be not so great due to Hellbats. But, I mean, I guess I do miss Banshees. It does open up options. But if you think it's not going to be that big of a deal, I mean, specifically to TBT, how do you feel about it?
Well, Hellbats dominate the matchup. So it makes, I guess, the Hellbat in itself might not be that boring of a unit. But when the only thing you see is Hellbats, that makes it very, like, there's no variation. So I guess that's what makes it boring, in my opinion. Like, if they change it so that you, like, still maybe can use Hellbats, TVT, but it won't be, like, the same kind of you have to go Hellbats. You can still go Banshees, you can go Widowmine drops. Like, when there's more variation, the game will be more fun to watch.
Right.
So I hope that's what they're going
for.
Yeah,
okay. Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, that's the ultimate goal in the end.
Mm. And not just that Hellbats themselves would be boring. It's just that the way they changed the game, the meta game.
Suppy, what were your thoughts on the spectator making balance changes as one of the reasons being, you know, spectator excitement?
Well, I think we've seen this attitude from them before. Like, I remember when they were doing the proposed Oracle speed change, they were addressing that, oh, they think early game cheese might be more funny or more fun for spectators to watch or something. And so I think it's a smart idea to try and figure out what things would make the best spectator experience, because I think one thing that StarCraft lacks is, in comparison to, like, Dota or League, is, like, those games, you're literally cheering for something, like, every single second. So I feel like if you can introduce more exciting gameplay elements into StarCraft, that's definitely a good, like, good idea. Like, introducing something like Reavers, which were, like, one of the most exciting units to watch because you didn't know, like, what they were going to do. So, like, if they could do that for StarCraft, I think that mindset is good, but using that to justify certain balance changes is probably not the best approach, because balance is not just about, like, the spectator experience. Like, you need to factor in a lot more things than just the spectator excitement value, I guess.
I think the interesting thing, like, just the balance change in general is interesting for me, because just to make sure that is what we're talking about, right?
Yeah, we're talking about, like, a
just making sure.
Yeah.
Right. I think Thor hasn't hit the nail on the head, but also a lot of turns have echoed this sentiment, and that is that the Hellbat will be pretty much null and void as far as early game. Obviously, it still has a role in terms of mid to late game harass, just with that upgrade. And because it's such a great harass unit, you're still going to see it. And, of course, like in mech compositions, it'll still be figured in just because it's, again, a very good supplementary mech unit in that composition. So the unit itself doesn't go away, which, to me, is a pretty damn healthy and good nerf, in the sense that it was a little bit too powerful probably in the early game, but we don't want to get rid of the unit and make it this ridiculous, stupid thing that nobody ever uses. So I think this nerf kind of hits the nail on the head. Where I think it's a little bit funny is it'll be interesting to see, because I wonder if the role of the Hellbat in TBT in early game will get replaced by the Banshee, because Cloaked Banshees are so powerful, and we've been talking about this since Wings of Liberty, but one of the reasons why you wouldn't go Banshee is because the upgrade is pretty expensive, but then you could go Cloakless Banshee, but that all got mitigated by the fact that the Hellbat was just the better option. Like, sure, you roll into the Banshee, but that's a micro skill-oriented unit, whereas dropping Hellbats in a mineral line does not require a lot of actions or skill. So it was the easier tactic to execute for less cost with a structural building that you'll need anyways. Of course, you'll need the starport for medevac, but not the tech lab on the starport, which is actually a big deal. I think it was actually DeMuslim, not Thorzane, that was quoted as saying it's really hard to put tech labs on starports. But that
is
true.
It is really hard.
There you go. So I think it's interesting, because I wonder if we now have a Banshee problem in TBT, which I guess is the better problem because it's more exciting to watch, getting to Suppy's point, because it does require skill, right? Like, a Banshee in a noob's hand is not going to do that much damage, but a Banshee in Polt's hands is going to get 12, 15 SCV kills and move on to do other things.
And so, it's always really sick to watch, like, Banshee's getting away with one HP as like a Viking's like trying to chase it, and like you're not sure if it's gonna get the last shot off or if it's gonna cloak in time and like avoid the Marines and the scan. Like there's like a lot of factors, I think.
Are these changes in now? Like we had a patch today. I know like BattleNet was down for an extended period of time. Is this now officially in? Or is it still no?
No, it's supposed to go in Thursday morning is the word.
Oh,
but this week, this week it'll happen.
It's just normal maintenance bullshit.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
That's what I understand. I've been gone in the morning, so maybe not.
We'll talk a little bit more about it next week then, I'm sure, as well.
Yeah.
Have experienced the ups and downs. It seems like most people, at least based off of the polls on TL and whatnot, seem to be pretty comfortable with the changes. I think it's going to be really exciting to see, again, you know, the reactionary, like, oh, this is cheaper? Well, shit, I should use it all the time now. I like that. So let's actually, before we move on to our regularly scheduled script, some news just hit. Did it?
Yeah, it did. It was launched. So I've been talking about this for a long time. Suppy spoiled this a while ago, but everyone's kept kind of quiet about it because there's so much going on in StarCraft II that all of us were safe from our own hype. But the SC2L has finally launched, and the basic gist, I mean, you can all read about it. I tweeted the link, and I'm sure there's going to be more going around. The basic gist of this is it's $10,000 team league, just like the Masters Cup that we ran previously. Except I feel like the team pool is much more consistent and awesome. Very much so Western-based teams, Axiom being the only all-Korean team. But Koreans will be represented there, obviously, with Acer, Team Liquid, EG, and I think a couple of the other teams have Koreans on there as well. So there definitely will have a healthy mix of Koreans in there. But the really cool part about this league is that it's, A, casted by the top-notch guys, DJ Wheat, Day9, myself. And then we're going to have – we're talking to some other guys as well, if I'm not mistaken. But I can't say their names. I think those are the three that are being said right now, is DJ Wheat, myself, and Day9. Do I have that all right?
Artosis?
Yeah,
Artosis.
Your post has Artosis, yeah.
I fucking forgot Artosis. I don't know how that's possible. Anyways, those four guys will be your main commentators, which is really cool. I will be broadcasting out of the EG offices in San Francisco, so it's going to have a little bit more of a live studio feel. Some of the commentators are going to stop by and commentate from there. Obviously, not everyone can do that because, you know, Artosis is in Korea, Wheat's in fucking Nebraska, Day9 is south of San Francisco, so on and so forth. But the idea is that if we can, we'll get them in there. And then the other cool thing about this league, too, is not only does it have some of the best teams, a good prize pool, regular broadcasts every night, but also we're doing something a little bit new where with D-Link as the title sponsor, if you order a router through a link that we'll be advertising, they're going to take $10 from that order and put it towards the prize pool. So the hope is it goes from $10,000 to $20,000. And that's interesting. That's something a little bit different in terms of prize pools for tournaments. It's crowdsourcing for tournaments, which is something that they do in Dota, but I've yet to hear of it in StarCraft 2. So kind of a cool concept, but we're really excited about it.
Right on. And the first broadcast is literally, mark your calendars,
4 hours.
Right? Yeah, 4 hours. 4 hours.
Which was not a, let's put this out there, too, because, of course, I'll be answering to this for the rest of my life, but that wasn't by design. There's not some PR guy in EG's, you know, dark, dank offices that is like, what if we launch a league 4 hours before we start? Like, hectic days in the StarCraft II land. So, ladies and gentlemen, please brace yourselves for that. But one other thing I want to talk about, too, is that a kind of cool thing about this league, and this is something that's a little bit more subtle, but I find it really fascinating.
What's that?
Is that the league is actually going to do its best job to try and advertise all the other team sponsors, and then we're going to share metrics in terms of viewership and, I mean, that's pretty much it, just the metrics and the viewership of the tournament with all the teams of the league so that they can then go to their sponsors and tell them, this is how much exposure I get from this league, this is why it's beneficial to be a part of it. And the idea is to obviously make this a platform for teams to get more attention and to be able to report to their sponsors that they're doing good things in the name of those sponsors. So this league is literally designed to try and grow the scene and to create a shared space of viewership so that we can all benefit. And I think that's cool because I don't know if people know this, but that's not the norm. Most tournaments, most leagues
will not share their specific numbers. They won't show the dashboard, if you will, with other leagues and teams. Well, certainly not other leagues, but other teams. And that makes it harder for those teams to go to their sponsors and say, this is why you give us money, is because when we go to X.
Oh, I had a feeling it was going to happen. Suppy. Well, no, we got.
I'm the last one again.
No, Thorzane's here. His camera's just not on, right? Thorzane?
I don't know. I think.
Oh, yeah.
We're under attack.
Well, it's just you and me, Seppi. What do you think about this? You're going to be playing?
Yeah, I'm excited. I've been waiting for this
guys,
for a while.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Hey.
Okay, good. I had my microphone muted. Yes. I'm here, guys.
What's up?
Oh, okay.
Yo.
Yeah,
I'm kind of excited. This is the first time this ever happened to me.
What happened? You just get knocked off?
Yeah, all this, like, they're messing with us. Someone's having a lot of fun.
You seem excited about that. I don't know about that. All right, we got you back now, at least. So we're missing Jeff. It's just like it's musical chairs as far as who's going to get.
I'm going to be gone.
All right, so we're
minutes.
Talking about. I was asking, you get to play, Suppy?
Yeah, I'm really excited because I used to be really involved with the ESEA, Electronic Sports Entertainment, whatever. It was basically the team league that we used to play in, but it switched over to LoL. But I was really, really into that, and this is kind of a continuation of EG MCSL, which I never got a huge chance to compete in, so I'm really excited. Like, I really enjoy playing in the team leagues because there's, like, this huge team atmosphere, and, you know, I played for the CSL and everything. I love preparing for the matches, like, scouting out the opponents, so I'm really excited.
I'm excited, too. Like, team leagues have been, like, back when I was in Mousesports, team leagues were the place where I was shining the most. Like, I would always win matches. I wouldn't win in, like, solo tournaments in team leagues. I would just, like, be on freaking fire every time we played a Clone Wars. So hopefully I'll be able to score some points for EG.
You won. You were on the team that won twice or just once?
Oh, yes. In Mousesports, we won twice the EG MCSL.
Yeah.
And we came second in IPTL after I all-killed Incredible Miracle.
Hello. Oh, welcome back. Welcome back. Well, then it's time for you.
It's
to,
time.
For
it's
you
time.
To, yeah. Again, to step it up.
But then I joined EG and the curse hit me, so I stopped winning, even though we were playing EG MCSL.
No.
Where was I cut off?
You're talking about how the crowdsourcing
is the first
of its kind.
That's correct.
Damn it. Okay, so I apologize if I reiterate.
How long
just
did
real
you
quick,
go, Jeff, just out of
I
curiosity?
I was gone for a while, man. No joke. No joke. And I definitely
Jeff's like,
said,
man,
said,
what I'm saying it. Must be amazing because
so
they haven't
compassion.
Said anything. Yes.
Yeah, I said really good stuff. So, yeah, the crowdsourcing thing is interesting because, of course, it's really good for sponsors to be able to turn a direct profit in relation to the league they're sponsoring as opposed to, like, really vague metrics that they have gotten in the past where it's like, I sponsored this tournament and a lot of people seem to look and it looked like our sales did a little bit better. Whereas with this, they'll know that attaching their name to that league did benefit them directly. They made money from it. So that's really cool. But the other thing I wanted to say, and I actually did say, but nobody heard except for my apartment complex and myself, was that this league is actually sharing all of its metrics with the teams inside the league.
You heard me say that?
Okay, good. Yeah. Well, that was the good part.
Okay.
I mean, to wrap it up, it's just that they can then take those numbers and show their sponsors that they're doing something that gives them exposure. And that's not the norm in the scene. Most leagues and tournaments don't do that. And I think that's really cool.
Okay, you did get out. I thought there is. That's good. We didn't miss too much of this stuff. Okay, that's good. I'm excited to cast forward. Anytime the Masters Cup has been on, it's always been good. Of course, we no longer have the 2v2, you know, involvement. It's
that was the most fun part of EGMCSL.
That's because you guys actually had some reasonable 2v2 strats. I think I recall.
No, like, I played with Mana and Hotsobs.
He's not talking about you. He's talking about our team. We had a 2v2 team, Axe Slav and
No, they lost all the time.
They did lose all the time, but they had cool strats.
I'm talking about Thorzain and Hasuabs. They did Banshee Blink Stalkers on this one map, and it would just...
What?
No?
Did we? I don't think so. Like, I played... I think I only played one time with Hasuabs, mostly with mana, and we just...
Or maybe it was mana.
Our strat was like, as long as we don't die in the early game, we always win in the late game. And that's what we did. Like,
you guys have been the most boring two. Did you say Hasuabs and Thorzain?
No, me and Mana.
Mana.
Yeah, but can you imagine Hasuabs and Thorzain?
Now that you think about it, maybe it was not you guys. Maybe I'm giving you credit for a strategy.
Strategy one, split map. Strategy
it was really
two,
good.
Wait until other team leaves.
It was just basically using the Cloak Banshee as vision for the Blink Stalkers on this one map, or basically the whole base was just one ledge to hop up on. It was a good strat. Mm. Yeah. Wasn't you.
Wasn't me.
If it was you, Thorzain, you would have been like, yes, that is my strat, and it was awesome.
Yeah,
no more team lane.
Too late for that now.
It is. All right, our last little subjects here that we'll try to get the phones open for a little bit. Root Gaming House has opened its doors. They've been making some videos. I think they're actually fairly close to some of the folks that are in SF these days now. But good for them. It seems like they're putting, the team back together as they have been for a while. But as many of you know, Root closed doors for a while and then it's come back in full force. But I just wanted to say congratulations to the guys. And I don't know if you guys had any comments on it at all, but it's pretty cool. They're getting it done.
I may be going to go visit them this weekend. So I'm really excited. Maybe.
Is it who? Oh, Root?
The Root House, yeah. If you're interested, you could let me know. We're like 30, 40 minutes away, so it's not really close, but it's like pretty cool. Their house looks great. Like, they have like a freaking like playground, swimming pool, jungle arena or something.
Just what gamers need.
Yeah.
I'm excited for them because, without a shadow of a doubt, if you are wanting to turn really good players into the best players, they need to be in a pro gaming house atmosphere. People are very critical of what happens when a house is made in the West, and that's fine. But the very bottom line is I feel like Root has really good players. I think Kane is a fantastic young player. Even fucking Cats, while owning and leading a team, has actually turned out some pretty cool results. Mm-hmm. But that's not it. Puck has really upped his game. He's playing really well as others. Minigun's done well in the past. So what I'm trying to get at is, they're good players, but they've never been like tournament winners, except for Kane winning Total Biscuits All North American tournament. But this house creates the potential, the ability for these guys to amp it up and become tournament winning, really good players. And at a time when Idra has retired from competitive play, a lot of the big North American players they haven't gotten it done on the global scale. Let's just be brutally honest. You can. Suppy's an up-and-comer, but he hasn't gotten to the point where he's winning tournaments yet. QXC has made really cool runs, but then gets smote pretty clearly, and then goes off to Home Story Cup and does really poorly as well. So North America needs players to do what it takes to become the best, and Root is doing that right now. So there's going to be naysayers. There's going to be people that are like, you can't do it. The North American server's the worst, blah, 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 blah. They all aren't necessarily wrong, but we'll never know until someone tries, and Root's doing that again, and I think they deserve all of our support.
Are there, like, any pictures out of the house?
You don't want to see the pictures.
You've got a few videos.
Oh, there's a video? Because when I saw the announcements,
I've seen more of Minigun's body hair than I ever thought I would in a lifetime, based on the pictures.
Does he have body hair?
What?
Right around his... you guys are asking these questions. You investigate. Go for it.
Ooh, I'm excited.
He's got one of the hairiest belly buttons I've ever seen in my life. It's going to be amazing.
Where do I find this? Oh, Root House opens.
Oh my gosh, Thorzain is so excited.
I can't. There's no videos.
There's
intro to Root House. Maybe that? Oh, it's a YouTube video. Okay, let's do this.
What's that creepy laugh?
Kane, shut up. I want to see Minigun.
One thing I forgot, by the way, too, about the league is the finals are being played off StarCraft II offline at Bucharest DreamHack, which is pretty cool. Both teams will get flown in to compete on stage.
That's awesome.
That's really nice.
It got quiet for 2 seconds, and then it showed Thorzane's little window on Skype, and he wasn't saying a word, and I was like, we're disconnected again.
No, we're...
But it's just Thorzane.
What do you guys want to talk... We got... Well, Pro League playoffs start on Friday night. The teams are in. Fortunately, we did not see EGTL, the Western Hopes, make it through. But the playoffs has some familiar teams if you've been keeping up with Pro League this season. As we see STX Seoul and SK Telecom T1 going at it to face KT Rolster, go at it to face Woongjin Stars in the finals. And I'll be watching these. I don't know how much you guys actually... You know, kept up with Pro League. I'm sure EGTL stuff, probably, but.
What are we talking about?
Pro League
now?
Pro League.
Okay.
I it's sad that I think they're putting their best foot forward, that is EGTL, at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. Under Coach Park's tutelage, I think we're seeing a much more competitive team that everyone expected when we launched. You know, on paper, EGTL has a fantastic roster. I think we all underestimated Kespa because those guys turned out to be amazing. But I'm sad because if we would have had Coach Park from the very beginning, I feel like we would be in the playoffs and we'd have this really exciting thing to look forward to. But with him coming on so late, we had a strong finish, but not what we needed. And there's always going to be a little bit of disappointment for me in terms of EGTL with that.
Do you guys expect better results in the upcoming season just because now that there's been a season with did Suppy's webcam really just stop like that?
Let me see. Oh, holy shit! That's the best Frozen. Yes! What was he doing? What was he doing to make that face?
It looks
face?
Like he might be dying a little bit. Like, I'm not sure what was going on. Oh, no, it's gone. Oh, my God. That was fucking amazing. Oh, my God. I can't believe I actually forgot what I was saying. Oh, something.
You were saying.
Yeah, if it'll
do
be.
Do you think that we'll do better in the next season? And yes. I'll tell you what. Because I know Alex is so busy with the SG2L stuff, I'm going to give an inside the game exclusive at the risk of getting fired. And that is that it's not guaranteed that EGTL will do the next Pro League season. It's actually super incredibly expensive. And the broadcast for Pro League is actually, it's not so incredible to report to sponsors. Like the numbers aren't blowing people out of the water. You know what I mean? Like it's not 40, 30, 50,000 people every night. It's a lot less than that, and the exposure versus the cost is not looking that great. So it's not guaranteed either way. They're going to talk with Kespa and try to work it out because obviously there's incredible value in being in Pro League. You guys are here, right?
Yes, yeah, sorry.
Okay,
sorry.
Just making sure.
Someone pictured it. It's just too hilarious.
Good.
Yeah.
Personally, I can't – I really – like I'm always – rooting for the underdog, which EGTL is at this point, so I really want them to be there because I think that's incredible. But it should be known that it's not a given, and I think that could be really sad, but it is the reality of business. Mm.
That'd be unfortunate. I guess we'll just be keeping an eye out for news. Looks like Suppy's back. Suppy, oh my God, you just made history again.
Why?
Reddit r StarCraft r new.
Oh,
it's probably
you
already.
You guys didn't see anything.
What? No, we didn't. We didn't know your webcam just froze and it looks up. Oh my God, that's hilarious. Oh, okay. All right, what do we got left? You want to open the phone lines for a little bit?
Yes, yeah. I need my goat lust.
Okay. We'll get to
some need to warm up and go lust.
Yeah.
Yes. So we could probably take a few. We'll take a few. Open up the help desk.
Two calls from him today.
What?
Compensate. Two calls.
Have him call once and then a second time.
Yeah.
I like that. 909-581-8509 or Skype. And it comes directly to show, so you're live on the air. Anything that we may have discussed this evening, feel free to chime in. We've got area code 819. Hello, welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hey, DJ Week, Lithium here. I had a question before a show, but with the control announcement, I guess I'll ask something else. Super excited about the announcement. It's really great. I was wondering if you guys think that all the team will now ask other big leagues to do the same, give good exposure to their sponsors, and will pry their hands to give numbers now and help grow esports, I guess.
Sure. So actually, do you guys remember when MLG and DreamHack and IAM were talking about this cuddle fest of esports love that was going to happen?
Yeah.
I think that one of the things they talked about was doing that. Am I off my rocker, or was that like one of the things that they said we wanted to work more with teams to try to, you know, give these numbers so that they are more beneficial to sponsors? Am I crazy, or is that something that they did?
It's one of the things they talked about as a precursor to WCS, because I know that they were involved in like the brain trust, all those leagues. So when they were teasing those ideas and tweeting and Sundance is like, maybe we'll send a console to the moon. Oh, by the way, we're talking about sharing all our info. That's what they were referring to, is actually the WCS, and it ended up being that. They were not talking about, as far as I can tell, you very well could be right, but as far as I could tell, they weren't talking about MLG sending a PDF to every team saying, here's exactly what our numbers were.
Right.
Go to your sponsors.
Right.
Okay. I have time for another question.
Well, we do have quite a few folks calling, so... Okay. But thank you.
I'll call next week, I guess.
All right. Take care.
Thanks, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. We've got area code 781. Hello. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Thanks, man. Hi. I have a question for Thorzin.
Yeah, sure.
With the nerf on the... Hold on. I'm hearing myself on the stream. From the nerf from the Hellbat, where that may require blue flame upgrade, do you think you would see a resurgence of blue flame openings like you saw in TBZ back in, like, what, 2011, before they nerfed blue flame? I'm not sure if that would open up, like, a new pathway or something for Hellions to be using it for Harassment.
Huh, that's interesting. I never thought of it. Like, I just thought of it like nobody's going to rush for blue flame to get Hellbats. But people might actually do what you're saying. Like, they open blue flame Hellions and then transition into Hellbats so that you already have the upgrade. That might, like...
Well, I feel like if you open with Blue Flame Hellions, most Zergs will already have Roaches out, which is...
Yeah, that is true. But, like, how about kill Roaches anyway?
They can, actually.
The big problem is if you go straight into Hellbats with Blue Flame, you can't really do it because you have to make a tech lab instead of a reactor on your factory. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure if people are going to rush it. But, like, I think in mid-game, we'll see it a lot more. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, it's an interesting... thought, like the opening Blue Flame Hellion and then transitioning into all that. I'm sure I'll experiment with it. I don't know if it'll be like works or not. Like, as Conan just said, like, when they see Blue Flame, first of all, they're gonna make Roaches anyway, and second of all, it's gonna be a huge tell that Hellbats are probably coming, but still might work.
Okay. Well, thank you for your time, Thorzane, and good run today in WCF. Good luck.
Thanks for your call, man. That was pro caller, grandmaster caller right there, for real. Thank you for being that way. I'm serious.
Yeah.
Area code 517, hello, welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hey, guys. I was wondering, with the recent game of Jadon actually beating Innovation and showing us the, you know, the Jadon we've been waiting to see, how long do you think until, you know, he gets his VVP going? I mean... it seems to be really the only thing holding them back. I mean, just like, when's it going to happen? I want to see him crush all these Protosses, you know? I mean, you know, what do you guys think?
I think the game he beat Innovation on was, like, it wasn't a long macro game. It was Innovation trying to do a two-base all-in, which Jadon kind of just dealt with perfectly. So it's not like saying that it's better than Innovation in CVT, but still, like, any two-base all-in from Innovation is bound to be really strong, so it's good that he defended it. But yeah, I would have rather seen him like beat Innovation in a straight-up macro game. And I don't know anything about his CVP.
Yeah, but even so, like, I posted this link. It was on Reddit yesterday, I think. It was, like, number one. It's Jadong's performance in a nutshell. And it's literally, like, all wins for ZVT and ZVZ. And then pretty much all losses for ZVP, which is, like, so it's definitely holding him back.
Huh.
And so I guess the question was when he's going to start improving ZVP. And I think he must, like, he knows that ZVP is his weakest matchup. So I'm sure he's focusing on it a lot. And I think maybe at some point, maybe it's like kind of a mindset thing right now. So I'm hoping he can overcome it. And if he can kind of just get that mindset that he can win ZVP, I think he'll be able to. Because I don't think, like, mechanically or anything, he should just be, like, somehow really bad at ZVP.
How, I know it, like, actually doesn't matter. How is his ZVP in Brood War? Jeff?
I mean,
in Brood War, he was all three matchups incredible. They call him JVZ, though, because his ZVZ was legendary.
Right,
and he was famous for his matches against Flash, who was the other big-name player. But he, of course, was very good ZVP as well. I mean, a lot of people are... It's definitely his weakest matchup. Like, if you look at his numbers, it's ridiculous. It's like 89% ZVZ, and then ZVT, he's been doing incredibly well, because I think his cheeses are actually sharper in ZVT, by the way. All Zergs are right now. And then Protoss-wise, guys in Korea, the Protoss players are actually doing really well. So that's not an excuse. Certainly it's Jadong's worst matchup, because he's definitely lost to Naniwa and Sase, to name a few, in the most recent foreigner tournaments. But it's kind of exasperated by the fact that he's, like, a championship-winning player in the other two matchups. And then in ZVP, he's, like, a top-tier Korean who still suffers in that matchup, you know? He's working on it. I can tell you that.
Well, all right, guys. Thanks a lot for answering my call. And love the show. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye. All righty. This guy has immediately changed his Skype picture to Suppies. What just happened? And I feel like it automatically deserves a pickup. So we've got Alex on the line. Alex, your Skype photo wins. Welcome.
Thanks, man.
Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Nothing much. Thank you, Suppy, for that moment. I was literally crying. I laughed so hard. So my question is... with Polt winning MLG and the history of Violet doing pretty well, these are two players that both live in America. And with Polt studying, and this is something that American players go through a lot. Like, they go to college and they play, like Suppy. But is it still an excuse to say, oh, I'm an American player and I go to college, so you shouldn't expect me to win an MLG or something? Like, I see people making excuses like that. But I know Polt has the mechanics of, like, a Korean pro gamer, but is it really that difficult to reach that? Oh, and Control's making faces.
I'm sorry.
He's got the faces.
Did you say he has the mechanics of a Korean pro gamer?
Yes.
He is a Korean pro gamer. But I have a more interesting answer than just that. Let us not forget, before he actually moved to America to do his studies, he was the GSL Grand Prix champion, one of the biggest tournaments to date in terms of... I think he actually won $100,000. Don't quote me on that, but it was like a ridiculous tournament. He was very successful beforehand. He came over here. He's been here for less than a year. He trains predominantly on the Korean server, not the NA server. And he has the background and the knowledge and the friendship base of the most successful Koreans from Korea that no foreigner has. Naniwa would be able to be the closest to that if it weren't for the fact that he alienated himself from every one of them by being a dick to them. but having that practice base and having those friends and having that infrastructure behind you is actually what leads to success. It's not necessarily the location. The location is a hindrance in the sense that our connectivity to Korea from here is not as good. So it's not that he's studying in Texas that's making him a champion.
It's not that Americans have the excuse of being students. It's that Americans don't have the connections, the knowledge, and the history that you do when you're raised up in a StarCraft-dominated Korea.
All right, that makes sense. I actually didn't think of that. So, bravo.
Thank you.
Yeah. And one more quick question. DJW, when are you going to change your Skype picture on here, man? I like your hair a lot better like it is now. And shorter. It doesn't look as good, man.
Oh,
I think you should update it.
Yeah, I've got like the old one. That's like 10 years old. I should probably do that, huh?
Yeah. Or you can change it to Suppy. Either one. I think...
You know what? I might. Just at least for a week to commemorate this moment a little bit longer. So,
yeah.
All right. Hey, Alex, thanks for your call, man. Appreciate it.
All right. I love you guys.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
And guys, that wasn't a bolt to, or a burn to Nanua. Nanua would tell you the same thing. He's incredibly honest. He'd be like, yeah, a lot of them don't like me, but that's okay because I don't like them. He does have his Korean friends, and he does train in Korea with Koreans, so that's part of the reason why he's arguably the best foreigner right now, and he does really well. But that's also part of the reason why some of us think that in the GSL, when he was getting, I think it was 10 pooled, who was that Zerg he played? Oh, Nestee. A lot of us think that he was training with Koreans, but then the Koreans turned around and went to Nestee and were like, yo, Nestee, here's the builds he's doing. And then ST did like a blind one-base speedling build against Nanua. It was pretty sick stuff, man. Woo! StarCraft II Illuminati.
The Illuminati.
You're just a little marionette on the end of my fingers.
The Illuminati. All right, we ready for Mo?
Mo.
Mo. We've got area code 573. Hello, welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for calling.
What do you guys think about the Viper being cooldown-based instead of energy-based?
For what ability? All of them?
For, like, Abduct, Lightning Cloud, all that. Except the consume, obviously. Yeah.
But, I mean, the mechanic to, like, eat energy from your own buildings...
How would Protoss ever stop a Viper that's cooldown-based? Like, they would just abduct all of our Colossus all the time.
Well, that's the fun part. They can't.
Thank you for your call, Idra. I agree. Let's make that change, and then also let's give Colossus the ability to shoot air.
Hey, I think what you mean is like a 30-second cooldown or something. Like
he
really
means
high
you
like
can't
it.
Feedback them because it's
yeah,
what they
but that's the problem. Yeah. And the whole point of the Viper is to eat the buildings, which is, like, their mechanic.
You give an upgrade to your Stalkers that's called, like, Viper Rage, and then you add the lore that when Stalkers were being raised up as young Stalkers, their families were murdered by Vipers, so when they engage with Vipers, they become twice as powerful, and you double their range and double their damage. Then that would be sick. But only when Vipers are in play.
You guys should really be on the balance team.
I agree. And the board team.
Stalker Rage incoming soon. Hope David Kim is listening.
Oh, he's always listening.
Oh, by the way, take pictures, Seppy.
Thanks, dude, for your call. Appreciate it.
You already have two threads on Reddit, dude. You're like,
dude, there's
you've
more
never
than two, man.
When you made a shitty face on this show.
Wasn't there more than two? I was just on there. It seemed like there was going to be like five, and then the people were going to start complaining that there was five. Look at that.
It's the circle of life.
And then all of a sudden people be like, this isn't even about StarCraft anymore. They're going to blame it on the show, and then it's going to be awesome. The next few days will be great. All right. We got a little bit more time. One more, and then we'll take Goat Less Call. Area code 760. Hello. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up? Oh. Yeah. Hello?
Making first hello? Punch.
Are you, oh. Oh, hello.
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Hi. First of all, thank you for having me on the show. This is a really awesome show, and easy all the way.
Thank you.
My question is, what do you think we need to get NA to be as good as Europe and Korea? Like, Europe and Korea, they all have these hubs, right? Like Seoul and like Cologne and Sweden. And, like, how can you get NA to be the same way? Like, I know Luke just moved into SoCal, and EG's there, of course, and NASL's there, but, like, what do you think we need? Like, is there more than we, like, is there more to that? Like, what's the what are the problems and what solutions do you think we need?
Well, Root just moved into NorCal, actually, not SoCal. So we're seeing more people. Yeah. But I think, I think one of the things we need to do is, I actually wanted to mention this earlier, but I think the MCSL is going to be really nice, or not, the SC2L is going to be really nice because it's going to provide a platform for people to practice with each other where we wouldn't normally practice with each other. I think a big problem with the North American players is they don't really like to practice with each other. And that's what a lot of the regions like to do, and that's kind of what we were pointing at when we were talking about Polt being so much better despite being in NA, is because he probably practices with all his Korean partners. And I think by having the team league, it's going to force us to play against each other, and we're just going to get better practice that way, because right now most NA players pretty much play 100% ladder, and that's all they do. And when your ladder is weaker than the other regions to begin with, that's just not good enough to be competitive.
Okay. Yeah, and I just realized.
Go ahead, man. Go ahead. It's fine.
Okay. No. I just realized I was cutting you guys off because I think I had the stream off or something. Like, sorry about that.
That's okay.
Oh, no problem, man.
Jeff, what are we gonna add?
I was just gonna add that this is a question that gets brought up a lot, and I think it's a really good one because I feel like a lot of different ways to answer it, and I certainly agree with everything Suppy said. But I think what can't be understated too is that, while we certainly have had competitive gaming in North America, and whenever we talk about StarCraft, we're usually really focused on, we use two generic words like gaming and professional gaming. Are you okay? Anyways, it's been in both continents, obviously, Europe and North America. But in Europe, I feel like they had higher level events that were more reliable more often. In different games, like they've had a huge Counter-Strike scene, they had a huge Warcraft 3 scene, and even in Brood War they had better players because they had regular broadcasts, regular tournaments, whereas in North America we really just had WCG. And those kind of things in the past really create an atmosphere where players have something more to play for. So I feel like that's where a lot of like well-groomed gamers have come from in terms of professional gaming. Obviously, this is extremely generic and could never be the actual answer. But I feel like that is a big part of it. And the reason I say that is because, to piggyback off of Suppy's point, part of the way North America is going to catch up to Europe and Asia/Korea is they're going to create more of an atmosphere where that could be more easily done. And that's like pro gaming houses. That's like CSL being successful. That's like perhaps the final product of the WCS system, which does become more regionally based. Hopefully that is something that they end up doing when it goes more offline, which is supposedly the plan. But then also terms like your MLGs or formerly IPLs, open brackets that kids can go play at. It's going to take years, but I feel like those are the kinds of things that generate the interest in pursuing that on a more serious level. And like Suppy said, practicing with each other, that becomes more of a reasonable activity to do for 10 hours a day when you have something to play for.
I agree. Caller, thank you very much. For your call.
I don't really
have
much of an opinion on the issue because I don't think Europeans practice much different than Americans, to be honest. So
they don't practice different, but they practice with better people on a more regular basis, is what I would say.
Okay.
Like when I play the European ladder, I play against better players. And then when I talk to the European players, they spend more time in customs, I would say, than North American players do, on average.
I think a good example is when Fuser came to America, he stayed here for like half a year or something. He trained on our ladder and everything. He was like easily rank one, whereas I'm not sure how high he is on ladder in Europe, but he himself was saying how it was like just way, way easier in North America in terms of like...
I remember at DreamHack Stockholm, and Fuser and Jeff had a little talk, and he was like just shit-talking the NA ladder, and like to the point where I could see that Jeff kind of got upset about it. And I think he should, because he was just like, he wasn't making any points.
Well, it's
he was
Fuser.
Just saying,
yeah.
He was just saying like, oh, NA is so fucking bad, it's fucking horrible, you guys should be ashamed, kind of like that. And I could see Jeff, like, getting angrier and angrier, and then, like, just...
Yeah.
I don't remember what you said, but, like...
It resulted in a bet that he didn't actually live up to. He said, if we played a best of, I think it was seven, he said, I would 4-0 you. And I said, all right. And because I knew he's a better player. I'm not trying to argue that. But I was like, 4-0 me. And he's like, yeah, I'd bet 500 euros on it. And I said, so if I win one game in a best of seven, you'd pay me 500 euro. And he said, yeah. And I said, call. And then he came over and he's like, give me 2 weeks to train. And then he never talked to me again.
What?
Yeah. And then he asked about it later. He was like a month or two later. He's like, hey, what about that bet? And I was like, yes, let's play it. And he's like, can we change it to you have to win two games? And I was like, no, that's not the bet. And he's like, well,
he automatically lost.
Well, he then tried to make the bet more reasonable. He was like, let's play a best of seven for half the amount of money, and you have to win two games. And then I dodged because I had the high ground at that point in time. So I was like, no. No, we're not playing until you give me all your money.
But, even the point where he said,
that's the way to do it.
Yeah, but give me 2 weeks. That's I have to become a better player before I do it. Like,
yeah,
wasn't the point just right
there?
The T-Rex
doesn't work as well on TVP, is why.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
All right, are you ready? Are you ready? Ladies and gentlemen, he couldn't join us last week. Here to recount the incident that led to his absence. Welcome, Goatlust, to Inside the Game. Hello.
Yeah, g'day, fellas. How are we?
Not bad. How are you?
Very good.
Is the question.
Very good.
Well, I don't know. My arm still feels a little bit funny, eh? But, you know.
So, what
that's
the hell?
Just life, eh?
What the hell happened?
Well, you see, I was in my usual walkabout sort of location.
Yeah.
And had this new June buggy, you know? And I was just sort of tearing ass around this paddock, just like fucking power sliding it like it's fucking Mario Kart or something, and you know, didn't really take a liking to it after one of the sharp fucking turns, and
and you flipped.
And, I'd put my arm out sort of reflexively, and, I think I might have fractured it a couple of times, but,
it's
starting to feel better now after a week or something, so, you know, fuck it.
You still haven't checked? You still haven't checked?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Dude, you should go. Yeah, I should definitely.
Yeah, I don't know. It might have just been like a minor fracture, because in the last couple of days, it's definitely felt a lot better. It's just like there's kind of a weird feeling, you know? Yeah, it's probably not
you,
good.
You come from a region where, you know, you get bit by an alligator and you just, a crocodile, whatever, you just shrug it off. It's like no big deal. So.
Gotta go tough, mate.
Yeah, apparently you do. All right, well, we just lost Jeff. I'm not sure where he went, but we still have Thorzane and Suppy.
Mm-hmm.
What do you got for us this week, Outlust?
Well, Thorzane wants you to do two questions.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, he does. But
yeah, well, all right. One of them might be a little bit lackluster then, or a little bit of a short question.
Okay.
Anyhow, I wanted to ask, seeing as what Jeff said about the whole Pro League thing and how much money they're sinking into it. I wanted to know if you guys think that maybe EG is going to start focusing on their Western side a bit more, because there's certainly been like this period over the last little while where they've dabbled in, you know, really putting a lot of resources into Korea, and like they don't even really have a team house going in the US at the moment. So I'm wondering, you know, do you think there are things on the horizon for EG moving towards the West again?
Well, that's a question for you guys.
Well, I think the Korea thing was kind of an experiment, and as Jeff said, I guess you don't really get as much out of it as you would have hoped to.
Sorry, back.
Oh.
But about them focusing, on the West again, I'm not sure, at least not when it comes to StarCraft. I think, like, I don't really know their plans, but I think they'll be pretty content with the way it is. Like, maybe focus more on this league thing, like the, not League of Legends, but this new tournament, instead of actually, like, building a new team house or improving it in, like, game ways, as sort of two players are concerned.
Yeah, I definitely agree with Marcus. I think the Pro League thing definitely was something that EG was focused on for quite a long time. And I think they are still very focused on it, like with Coach Park, the addition of Coach Park and everything. But I don't think that means we're going to see less investment in the West, like the Western part of EG, because I think that's where a huge amount of the value of EG comes from, is from like the player personalities and the players who are like well known in their areas. And I think they get a lot of value from just having the players in the West that people cheer for and have nice personalities that people like. And so, yeah, I think they're always going to be focused on the West. It's not like we're going to see like everything move to Korea or something.
I think he asked if there's going to be more focus on the West now.
More focus.
Yeah. Like, well, if they're going
to
change.
You've got to say that your overall image in the West had been, like, with your foreign players, had been so much based on Idra that it kind of lacks now that he's not there. Like,
what was the question?
Do you see yourselves picking up a couple of heavy hitters? Just EG focusing so much on Korea right now, that sort of stuff.
And based off the comments you made, Jeff, if there would be more of a shift back to Western.
So yeah, it's kind of interesting because with Idra unfortunately being removed from the squad and him having so much identity, but then also Stefano very much so putting out there that he will retire, and of course he was another gigantic name that could never be replaced. Another interesting thing that I guess people don't necessarily know about, but Huck's contract is coming up, so there's going to be talks with that, and it's not guaranteed that Huck will come back either. So if in 1 year we lost Stefano, Idra, and Huck, a huge chunk of the identity of the Western division of StarCraft II for EG would be forever changed, right? I mean, you take any one of those guys out, and that's a huge hit.
Sure.
So to answer your question, I can't tell you that we're like in talks with nabbing and poaching all the big name players from all the other teams. That's not what we're doing. We definitely very much so have refocused on things like raising up a Lebo and a Suppy from the dredges of the foreign poop and making them into tournament winning big name players. But then we also have players like the Muslim, who we've been fostering for a while. Thorzane, who's a past champion, who even just today, speaking for Thorzane, was tweeting about how he's still inspired to be the old Thorzane and win tournaments. I think our Western identity is still intact, even with those names perhaps all moving on. And I would be the guy that would tell you, I don't know. I don't know. But we're not. We're not doing that. So... what I can tell you is that we're always keeping our eyes open for like the next big superstar or young talent that we want to foster, but we're not panicking that those players are moving on because we feel very secure with ourselves and where we're at. This league is—it's kind of a cop out, and I'm not trying to like refocus everything to the league, but I'm gonna be honest with you. When I have talks with Alex Garfield, the owner of EG, he talks about this league as one of like it's its own player in our roster. To be honest with you, like this is a huge attempt by us to create the perfect, what we think, the perfect team league that will win us a whole bunch of attention and appreciation and support. And we hope that bolsters our StarCraft II division and creates the opportunity for us to then use that to do more and bigger things, too. So it's kind of it's sad. I want Stefano and Idra on our team, and I wish they weren't going to leave or have left. But that's business and that's life. You know, sometimes it happens that way.
So that was question one, right?
Yeah.
You got a second one?
Well,
or are you good with that?
Well, I was just going to say, when the fuck are you going to go and coach those Team Liquid guys for a bit in control for all that Papa John's?
Oh, yeah. Happening. Good question. When the fuck is this happening?
If I was wearing pants, I would get up right now and I would go grab my Team Liquid jersey and show to you that I do have it in my possession. I already tried to troll Alex. We were leaving MLG and I just put it on casually and was standing by the curb. And he walked up and he was like, very funny. Blue looks good on you. And I was like, I was hoping for more of a reaction. I didn't quite get it. But the basic gist of it is immediately after that whole fucking pizza fiasco, we've actually been at tournaments every single weekend. Just now are things calming down. So I would recommend you guys start harassing the managements of Team Liquid and EG and get them to do it, because whatever that entails, I'm ready to go. It's just that literally this coming weekend will be my first weekend home in a while because of esports, which is great.
So there you go.
All right. What's thank up? You. And real quick, what did you guys think? League of Legends has Sydney servers now. That's pretty sick, eh?
Really?
What, if servers? Only Blizzard could fork out, you know?
Sydney servers.
Yeah. Too fucking good.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Pretty sick.
Well,
pretty sick.
The thing is, if they made it for Blizzard, I feel like Australians would still play on Korea, is the thing.
Oh, yeah. Probably. But then again, like, there's probably players who aren't going to be hitting it up at the highest levels, so I suppose it'd be good for the casuals as well.
To answer your question, I am super excited about seeing the Australian LoL scene really blow up due to this. I think that should be fucking great.
Well, yeah, those ACL guys who run their StarCraft are looking forward to it, that's for sure. They got some hook-ins with Riot going and all that sort of shit.
Actually, that's really good for them. That's really good for them. So that's great.
Might even see StarCraft get some good out of it for sure as well. Like, just by, being around it.
Could happen.
All right.
Anything could happen, says
definitely.
Ellie Goulding.
Hey, I'm just happy that you guys are getting more events and more, potential opportunities down there.
Yes.
That's good.
God, yeah, mate. All right. Thank you very much again, guys.
Sorry, I
fucked up and missed out last week.
That's okay.
Get better soon, man.
Yeah.
Don't crash a dune buggy.
All right, Gutless, thank you very much.
Catch you later, fellas.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care.
He's alive. He's okay. We can wrap the show now.
I love that his injury would be crashing a dune buggy. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's an Australian injury.
And you didn't
hear,
but he's like, yeah, I was out in my fucking normal walkabout areas, and he's talking about driving his dune buggy like Mario Kart, and it wasn't really fucking having it, so it just kind of flipped over on me. Anyway, Goatless is the man. Love him. We can rap. Who wants to kick things off tonight?
Me.
All right, Thorzane.
You don't have to ask anymore.
Okay.
Okay, so.
I like it.
I'm excited about Sunday. I'm excited about the next Inside the Game. We'll be talking about who's the best Star Strikers team, and hopefully,
yes, we will.
I'll be the one talking big. I want to thank all my followers on Twitter because they were very supportive today, even though I lost, and I have been losing. I lost at Homestar Cup, DreamHack, MLG, and now WCS. And I went to my interactions, and I was expecting to see at least a couple of bad comments. But every single one was like, hey, we believe in you, keep like fighting, cheer up, like we'll always be there for you. Like, there was a ton of comments like that, and it really made my mood way better. So I appreciate that a ton. Thank you very much. And of course, I want to make a shout out to EG and our beautiful sponsors, Raid Call, Monster, Kingston HyperX, Razer, Astro, Need for Seat, Jinx, and follow me at Twitter at EG Thorsane, and thanks for watching.
Well done, very thorough, Suppy.
I just want to say thanks for watching and tuning in today, you guys. I will be streaming at twitch.tv/SuperiorWolf. I actually asked if I should have changed it, but I am going to keep it for now, I guess, because most people wanted me to keep that name. and at Twitter, at EGSuppy. if you are in the Bay Area, or even if you're not, you should check out the LAN event that I'm organizing and that I will be winning another gold medal in.
Genius is Sappy hosting a tournament funded by himself. Coming in August.
August 31st. It's on Team Liquid, so you can find that. Just search Bay Area LAN. And thanks to Evil Geniuses and all our sponsors that Thorstein mentioned before. Thanks.
Last but not least, in control.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in. Sorry for all the disconnects. Don't know what that's about. Usually we have a pretty smooth broadcast here on Inside the Game. Big shout out to our Team Evil Geniuses and all our lovely sponsors, obviously. Also, if you haven't seen it yet because you've been so engrossed in our awesome show, we did launch the SC2L, so check all those links, read all about them. It's going to be awesome. Just as a reminder, the first mo-fucking broadcast is tonight in 2 hours and 45 minutes, which is awesome because then you get to see us cast even more. I'll be casting with Day 9 tonight. I think tomorrow, spoiler alert, it's going to be with Artosis, I believe. And there's going to be a shit ton of DJ Wheat in there as well, which we're all really excited about. So hopefully you guys will check it out. And then for me personally, just follow me on Twitter if you haven't already, EG in Control. I'll be streaming while I'm not in the office broadcasting. And I hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you very much, you guys. Appreciate, as always, the show. Thank you for everyone who tuned in to episode 76 of Inside the Game. We will be back next week.
One more thing.
Oh, it always happens.
One more thing.
It always happens.
Suppy is doing a real talk on Thursday.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And he's not familiar with what this is like, but he'd like you guys to check it out because he's going to talk about himself for a solid 45 minutes.
Ah, yes, please. I'm so...
It's going to be great.
Suppy had an amazing journey from a child to now. He's going to tell the story about how he used to be an angry forum troll that yelled at Idra. He used to troll In Control on shows like TL Attack. But now, he's a really good North American Zerg player.
Look at that.
So, real talk on Thursday.
Real talk.
With
check
JP.
It out.
With me, JP.
All right. I will be on tomorrow with Live on 3. We're doing a special Evo show with a special guest, Mr. Wizard, and guest host. What? And guest host, Gutex.
Sorry. What? Someone in the chat. I need to give a shout out to this kid. I'm totally cutting you off, Wheat. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
Who is it? Someone said Tiger Mom in the chat, and that is a sick fucking reference to Season 1 NASL when Greetorp told me that there's this thing that Asian moms have called being Tiger Moms, and it's based on a book that was written. You've heard of this, Wheat. You have
yes.
to.
Yes, I have.
Tiger Mom. Sick reference. Thank you. Sorry for interrupting.
I don't even remember what I was going to say other than Live on 3 is tomorrow, Wednesday. You know the time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Evo show with Mr. Wizard. Special guest is going to be Gutex. And, yeah, got some other shit this weekend, but I'll talk to you about it tomorrow on Live on 3. Thank you again, guys, and we'll see you next time on another episode of Inside the Game. Peace.
Goodbye. Take care.